I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
If you look at the capital gains tax, she wants higher than China's. China's at about 20. She wants up over 40 or 44%. And you have to add to that state capital gains taxes as well. Many states, that'll push you up over half. Why would an investor invest in the United States with that level of capital gains when China's less than half as much? It will drive capital from around the world out of the United States into creating jobs other places. If you're a small businessman and you and your spouse work for 30, 40 years to build up a business and then you sell it, the government would come in and in many states, because of this higher capital gains tax, half of what you've created would be taken away from you after you'd spent 40 years paying income taxes and corporate income taxes and property taxes and sales taxes and FICA taxes.
You pay all those taxes and you sell your business and half of it will still be taken from you under Kamala Harris's proposals. Are you following that? Whatever you earn and you sell your business, even though you paid all these taxes all these years, they're still going to take half of your profit. Half. Who wants to get into business at all if you're going to do that? And as you were listening to Grover Norquist, who is the president of Americans for Tax Reform, he said it's going to drive money to other countries anyway. Who wants to invest in this nation if that's what they're going to be facing? And if that happens, what do you think happens to the U.S. economy? You're smart enough to figure that out. I want to break it down for you in more detail. First of all, glad to have you on board. This is hour number two of Larry Connors USA. Here we are, August 22nd, 2024. And reminding you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. You go to Newstalk STL, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Larry Connors USA, Rumble, or Facebook, or you go later and pull up the program video and our audio. If you miss anything, LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. And when you do, please push share, send it on to others, and push that like button. We do appreciate you doing that. And we thank you for supporting our sponsors. These sponsors of Larry Connors USA are 100% patriots, and they believe in what needs to be done is for our country. Not for red, not for blue, but for our country. That's my position, and I think most of you agree. I know you might be, many of you, more red by considerable margins than others, and some fully red, and others are maybe a pale, a little purple, but the bottom line is, do you love this country? Well, then what you should be doing and wanting is everything you can to protect this nation. And that is not just from invaders coming across our border. That's very big, obviously. But from deterioration from inside, and when you got a presidential authority being pushed around that's going to tax the hell out of everybody, you think that's going to make the nation better? Is that going to help the average American get on home and their dream of life? Kamala Harris says, well, we'll give them $25,000 specials. We'll give you $25,000 to put down on your house. What do you think the home builders are going to do? And rightly so. They're going to push the price up, $25,000. Or a home seller. Why not? They're entitled to make as much as they can. If the government's going to basically buy the house, well, hell, if they offered $150,000 to every American, the cost of the house would go up $150,000. You do not have to be an economist to figure this out. I'm looking at a piece I want to share with you. This is from, I've got several sources here in front of me. Let me verify this source before I start quoting it. This is actually from The Economist. Talking about Kamala Harris's cost of living plan will end in failure. She's embracing self-defeating economics. I'm just going to read you part of it. It says, it's easy enough to understand what is motivating Harris's economic strategy. Poll after poll demonstrates many Americans consider the cost of living to be their main concern. And Harris is at a disadvantage because she served as vice president during a time when inflation soared to a four-decade high. So rather than gloss over it, she's trying to confront it. And that means lower costs for American families. It's a speech. Those are words. They're not actions. And, of course, tonight she is speaking at the Democrat National Convention. What could she add that I haven't already told you that what she's going to say is, we're going to take care of it. We're going to take care of it. First of all, she can't do anything on her own. She's going to have the House and Congress. And neither can Trump. Now, by executive order, they can do some things. But some of the things that they're proposing here, you're going to have to go through Congress. All that risky, nasty, pesky Constitution comes into play again, doesn't it? What a shame. But again, back to Grover Norquist, Americans for Tax Reform, on what Harris is doing everything wrong.
She has endorsed all of the tax increases that Biden threatened to do next year, and she has added some of her own. So it is an amazing tidal wave of tax increases and wage and price controls, going back to Richard Nixon and Jimmy Carter and the lines where people waited to get gasoline. I mean, we have lived through this world, and it's not a pleasant world that Kamala Harris is thinking of dragging us back to.
Okay, let's go through it. She wants a 39.6% top capital gains rate, double China's. It would hit single filers making only more than $400,000 a year, married couples $450,000 a year. That's solidly middle class. So the government would take half your capital gains and say your houses where you live, like in California, New York, if it's all in with those states. And she wants a new 25% wealth tax on paper gains that do not exist yet. I mean, this is Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren policy that's gone off the rails that even Europe rejected as bad and wrong.
Let me break that part of you down. Let's say your house, you bought your house and it was $100,000. You bought it, you lived there for several years. And your house, and with the way the neighborhood's been going, your house would now be worth $200,000. But you're not selling it. You're going to stay living there. Well, the Harris plan and the Harris attack for the Democrat socialist agenda is, well, you've got $100,000 equity in that house above and beyond the $100,000 you put into it. We're going to tax that $100,000, but I'm not selling my home right now. I don't have the money to give you because I'm not selling the house. We're going to take it anyway. You better find a way to make it up. Maybe you will sell your house. And, of course, that price gouging. I brought this up yesterday. I've been mentioning it in a commentary today in case you missed it. Let me just cite it briefly. I told you that really during World War I and World War II, we did have price gouging laws in effect and part of the Korean War because we want to make sure Americans could get things the best they could. Supplies, obviously, were down, and we didn't want to overprice. We didn't want them gouged. That was a legitimate reason for having some price controls, but price gouging nowadays, and even then, is not going to work. You're going to create a black market. People who can afford it are going to get it one way or the other. But we also had it during Nixon years for a period of time. And that caught me when I was about, I want to say, 19. working at a TV station, and I thought, you know, I should be getting more money. I could figure this out. I should get more money. I go to my boss, say, I'm worth at least a dollar more an hour. He said, you're right, Larry, and I'd be glad to give it to you, but I can't. President Nixon won't let me give you that raise. And I go, what do you mean, President Nixon? What's he got to do with me living here in West Texas? Well, because he had signed off on the 90-day wage and price freeze. Well, as soon as that 90 days was over, I was back in there asking for it again. No, I did not get. I did not get the dollar, but I got some more. How many at the DNC truly realize how their lives will be turned upside down if all this happens? There will be finger pointing inside their party that you took us down this line and you told us it would be a golden door at the end for us and it goes into a pit. You've been telling us this and yet you're selling a fantasy. And then we'll find a way to turn it into communism. And then you're going to like this part. You're going to like this because just like Obama said about Obamacare, if you like your doctor, you can keep it. If you like your house, you can keep it. But last night was all about Minnesota Governor Walz becoming vice president.
Thank you, first of all, to Vice President Harris. Thanks for putting your trust in me and for inviting me to be part of this incredible campaign. And a thank you to President Joe Biden for 4 years of strong, historic leadership. It's the honor of my life to accept your nomination for Vice President of the United States.
And look how you got there and how she got there, and she's speaking tonight. Oh, which, by the way, will happen to be the 10-year anniversary for she and Doug. She will be celebrating their 10-year anniversary, not as Governor Walz and his wife did, marking the massacre in China. They will be celebrating theirs with her accepting the nomination of her party as president. Not because she won a single delegate vote, but because they pushed Joe out of the way. And I still say that October surprise is going to include Joe either deciding to step out or they're going to threaten him with the 25th Amendment so she can be running as President Harris. That's assuming Walz stays in, because Walz has so many things going against him and it continues to build. But he continues to say, we're all going to be neighbors here.
That family down the road, they may not think like you do. They may not pray like you do. They may not love like you do. But they're your neighbors. And you look out for them. And they look out for you. Everybody belongs. And everybody has a responsibility to contribute.
Mm-hmm. And you know what they did in his state as far as being neighborly? He established a hotline for COVID-19 snitches. A hotline for you to call in if your neighbors are failing to abide by social distancing rules. And he insisted in a recent interview, one person's socialism is another person's neighborness. No, what that sounds like, it's a fundamental start of socialism. Because the next thing is, everybody's house is also someone else's house. And Morning Joe, head of the cast Morning Joe on MSNBC, Joe Scarborough, was a Republican at one time, and so Trump was a Democrat. Let me remind you of that. So was Ronald Reagan. Scarborough was a congressman from Florida. And at the time, of course, he certainly believed in what the Republicans were doing and how easy it was to go after Democrats. This was in 1995 through 2001.
This is a different type of Democratic Party than the type that I ran against. I mean, you know, they were always very easy to go after, and they'd, like, you know, sort of run around in circles, and they were for the war before they were against the war. They were this, they were that. You take an issue that they were nervous about, and they'd run away from it. And you just, it would be just easy to run against them. Now they're doing exactly what you're supposed to do. Take the issue that's your weakness, make it your strength, and go straight at them with it. And it's hard to beat that. I will say also, Tim, we used to run against Democratic parties. It was like the old Simpsons cartoon where they had Republican conventions and they held up banners that said, we don't care about people. Yeah. Then they go to the Democratic convention. They held up banners that said, we can't run things.
We
right?
hate ourselves.
Yeah, we can't run things. And this is a Democratic Party. I mean, just ruthlessly efficient. I have not seen a convention night after night after night that sets it up this well. This is not the Democratic Party that you and I are used to seeing.
Yeah, well, you use the word ruthless. That is a fact. And don't forget, speaking of ruthless, they've got from Planned Parenthood out of St. Louis a bus sitting near the convention center. Women can go on there and get an abortion. Actually, they're giving the pill to cause an abortion, to dissolve the baby with acid. And then they maybe, while at the convention hall, will be going off into stall to basically abort a baby. And that's assuming nothing goes wrong with the women and the lining of their own bodies and it gets to them. And men can go get vasectomies. I have no problem with men getting vasectomies. It's not leading to life. You're keeping yourself from creating a life because you are doing true, diligent family planning. IUDs. They've got a massive IUD on display. That's to prevent pregnancy. But once the egg is fertilized, there comes the argument as, when does life begin? Many say the moment that happens, there is life. It's hard to argue against, but we got some on the left that are willing to say, well, you can still abort the baby even up to the moment of birth. And last night, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz reinforced that we're going to have a change with abortion. We're going to push abortion through with or without Congress. We're going to go back to making abortion law of the land. They didn't want to talk about that too much. In the past, they've been trying to walk around abortion a little bit. But now with the Roe v. Wade thing, now they think they can, maybe that helped bring more young women in to vote for them. They think it helped in the midterm. Maybe it did. This time around, I don't know. We're going to talk more about what's scheduled the convention night, which would include Kamala, who has never made such a high-profile speech before in her life. But, of course, she'll be working on a prompter. We'll talk about that coming up later. And also how China continues to use the dim open border policy to get inside our nation. And China also has a lot of future plans for what they're going to do to Americans. And some of it may already be underway. And they have a lot of useful idiots to help them. It will not be good for the USA. That's coming up. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on, there's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for us covering the local and global.
People, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local?
Really good.
News Talk STL at 1019 941
and NewsTalkSTL.com.
I want you to know that Meguiar Moving and Storage is silver certified, which means Meguiar has a quality reputation helping older adults move local or long distance. And something else to know, Josh Meguiar, president of Meguiar Moving and Storage, is the only certified moving consultant in Missouri. I'll tell you, once you met Josh, you're going to know your move will be easy. And I fully endorse Meguiar Moving and Storage. McGuireMoving.com.
My name is Todd Showalter, and I'm announcing the Right Mind Show is officially running Saturday nights at 5. I'll now open the floor for questions.
Is the Right Mind Show funny at all?
No comment. Next question. Yeah, you, different reporter with the same voice.
Your co-host is very cute.
Not a question. I've got time for one more.
Do you do any impressions on the Right Mind Show?
Yeah, absolutely. Here's Joe Biden getting out of bed.
The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter, Saturday afternoons at 5 on News Talk STL.
Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, now open in the district of Chesterfield Valley. Napoli has the only coal-fired pizza oven. That means an incredible taste you cannot get anywhere else. So enjoy a unique pizza at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the district. And then walk a few doors down and enjoy premium cigars and drinks at Lit Cigar Lounge. There's a perfect way to end the evening. Napoli Pizza followed by Lit Cigar Lounge. A winning combination.
This is News Talk STL.
There's 1,000 miles in 18 hours. I got a double drive down southbound 35. Got the hammer down, Detroit made, 525, pushing my ass right down that line. And that smell of burning diesel fuel just tells me that I'm back out on the road.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
We got to be very concerned about his company that he set up in 1995, Educational Travel Adventures. This was an adventure that had to be approved by the Communist Party's United Front Work Department. That's the part of the party that subverts foreign governments. So basically, this was a whole series of events that the Communist Party just loved. And during that time, you know, Waltz has been quoted as some very pro-Maoist things. And, you know, people changed their views. But just a couple weeks ago, he talked about socialism being the same as a good neighbor.
Right.
So clearly, those views that he had in his formative years are ones he still holds today, which means he shouldn't be one heartbeat away from the Oval Office.
No, he should not. That is Gordon G. Chang, expert on China. We often have him on the program as well. There he was on Fox News with Maria Bartiromo talking about these business dealings and companies that Minnesota governor, now VP nominee for the Democrats, Walz, has had with China for years. And as we point out repeatedly, you don't do business in China unless they have full access to any proprietary information you might have, and they have full access to what you're doing and how you're doing it. That is the only way they're going to let you have a business over there or be involved. You think you can take any company you have here and you can move it into China and run it the same way? You are an idiot, and you'll find out quickly. They will be inside your company at every corner until pretty soon it's not your company anyway. And they're more than glad to help you transfer your assets to China. This fits in a lot with what we were discussing at the beginning of this segment, that is the economic policy under Kamala Harris and what the Dems want to see done, the progressives. Many Democrats don't want to see this happen. I know many Democrats out there who have worked hard to achieve what they have and started their own business, maybe as a mom and pop, and now they got their children involved with it, and now it's a family business. And maybe they're getting ready to hand it down to the grandchildren, and it's all just great. They worked so hard for it. But then one of the younger grandchildren decides, you know, it would help if we expand to China. Let's get them involved. Bad idea. Bad idea immediately. Now, if you just want to sell things to them, that might be different. But if you're going to have things made in China and you're going to give them and access to your company, you're not going to be even allowed to act there. You're not even really going to be able to give, and I should say sell items without their approval anyway. So when Gordon Chain is questioning Minnesota Governor Walz about his relationship with China over these years, when he started this student exchange program, taking students over there and telling them, don't act American. The whole idea of a cultural exchange is to show them what you're like and learn from them. How many from China came back to this country to learn from us and went back to China? Now they're under the thumb of their leadership. I know several from China and from Asia, other parts of Asia. I mean, they all, you know, they came here and got a great degree in learning, and they're doing great for themselves and their families. I don't know any who came here and are now back in China to stay. Maybe some I did know have done that, but I'm unaware of it right now. And we also have to keep in mind, not only are they stealing our intellectual property at every turn and trying to get inside everything we have, they have Chinese inside our country who were not here because they were escaping a dictatorship. They were basically ordered here. That has to do a lot with all the illegals that had crossed, especially in the middle of the night, middle age, military age, young men from China. Rodney Scott, with the former Border Patrol chief, documents that.
I believe they're being directed to come here, and America needs to understand these are primarily single adults. China has had a plan to basically infiltrate for years. People are like, well, what are they going to do? Well, think about it. We have a lot of intelligence agencies that if China's trying to manipulate our elections from outside through internet or whatever, we can intercept that. But now when they're sitting in Chicago on a normal internet system in an internet cafe, we don't have the legal ability to be able to track what they say.
Wow.
Or what they do. This is a real threat. We've literally allowed, you know, a foreign nation that is an enemy, we've allowed them to just have spies walk directly into the country, and we've actually handed them paperwork so they can move around freely.
And now we're going to have, if elected, a vice president who is more than willing to open that door even more so. If you have friends that are thinking about voting for Harris, Walz, please press upon them. Play this part of the program for them. Do you understand Walz has such a deep connection and love for China? I'm not so sure. Oh, he'll claim he's just a farm boy, born in Nebraska, but now living in Minnesota as the governor, and I'm just like you. I love hunting. I love guns. But he's also interested in taking your guns away from you. And he'll pose that all the way through. This is watching basically an out-of-control episode of Beverly Hillbillies when they're really Chinese communists. I'm sorry I put Jeb and his family into that context. I would need to apologize to them. But that's what they're presenting to you. I'm just like you guys. Kamala has a hard time coming off like that. She is not like you and me. And she doesn't even pretend to be, except occasionally as we played for you yesterday. She goes into a store on the street. And then sometimes they bring in vans of people to go into a restaurant, move other people who are already dining there out, just in case there are any people in there that would hate her and love Trump more. And they put only Harris supporters in the restaurant as if it's a just routine. She walks in the restaurant and everybody's applauding her because they were paid actors being brought in. Back to Rodney Scott, the former Border Patrol chief, and talking about how VP Harris is just going to try to do her best to turn this country inside out.
The vice president, in a lot of her speeches, talks about wanting to be unburdened by the past. And that's really what she's trying to do here. They've had 3.5 years where all they had to do is leave everything alone, and we would have had the most secure border this country ever had, because that's what we handed them. But they tore every bit of that down, every policy, even physical infrastructure. They refused to finish building border wall, as you know. And that created this crisis. The only reason the numbers are dropping today is because they went into a panic mode and they asked Mexico to do what the United States should be doing, which is to secure our border. So actually the Mexican government setting up checkpoints right now and enforcing their laws, that is the primary reason we're seeing a reduction of flow in between the ports of entry. But Maria, please look at the national encounter numbers, not just the stuff that they cherry pick. 170,000 illegal aliens were processed by CBP last month. Those are still record numbers. It's just that they're pushing over 100,000 a month through the ports of entry now.
Again, that is a former Border Patrol chief. He said, pay attention to the real numbers. We're at 170,000 in the month of July that came across, but they're not showing up in these long caravans we used to see. The optics were not good. They have been trying to get away from that for the last 3+ months. So now they're all going to the ports of entry and they're coming in. Or we are pre-qualifying them while they're in another country so they can come into the USA via an airline flight. That's just the southern border. And of course, don't forget, wherever there's an opportunity, as again, Rodney Scott, former border chief, points out, the cartels look for the opportunity as well.
Well, the cartels use illegal immigration as a tool to overwhelm law enforcement, to keep law enforcement, Border Patrol busy, so that they can bring in a second wave, the gotaways, whether it's fentanyl, cocaine, heroin. We don't talk about all those threats that are across this entire country every day. Over 300 Americans are dying every day from opioid overdoses. And that's on top of the crime that you talked about earlier on the show that is all accurate. That's on top of our emergency rooms being overwhelmed by illegal immigrants getting free medical care because they can't be turned away. Our schools are being inundated. We just cannot sustain this massive influx of people. It's unsustainable, and it doesn't matter where you live. This is touching your communities. And if, you know, what the worst is what we don't see. That's the terrorists, China infiltrating, all of that.
But at some point we will, because they're not coming here just to sit around. They're coming with a plan. Hopefully what we do is find out what the plan is and the timing before it actually happens. Coming up, I want to go back to the Democrat National Convention for the final night. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
John Beale knows that new roofing companies can look big and trustworthy on the internet, but the fact is 96% of new roofing companies go out of business within the first 5 years. John Beale has a reputation for excellence, reliability, plus lowest cost, best roof, best guarantee. Those here today, gone tomorrow roofers, they can't match John Beale. For home or business, trust my friend John. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this,
or this. Make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Loyalty means a lot at J. Ackerman Toyota. That's why during COVID, Ackerman refused to charge over sticker price, while others did. Ackerman stayed true to their customers, selling at or below manufacturer-suggested prices. Ackerman will get you what you want, and the service department has the same spirit. You come first. And thank you for making Ackerman Toyota number one in 2023. Ackerman Toyota, AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perished in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
If you like premium cigars and spirits, take my advice. Check out Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. The Lit Cigar owners just got back from a major convention in Vegas, and now every day, Lit is getting shipments of special cigars that will certainly amaze you. Check the Lit Cigar Facebook, staying on top of special events. Also, Lit can host a private event for you, your friends, your business. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I am so honored to have been asked to speak on tonight's theme about what matters most to me, to you, and all of us Americans, freedom. There are people who want you to see our country as a nation of us against them, people who want to scare you, who want to rule you, people who'd have you believe that books are dangerous and assault rifles are safe, that there's a right way to worship and a wrong way to love, people who seek first to divide and then to conquer. But here's the thing. When we stand together, it is impossible to conquer us.
Those are the words from last night of Oprah Winfrey making supposedly what they're calling a surprise appearance. I don't think anybody shows up as a surprise appearance, but apparently they did not let others know. And she was taking shots primarily at Trump. Of course, she brings up the tropes normally of the AR-15's a dangerous weapon. She could not tell you what an AR-15 is, assault weapon, as she called it. And any weapon would be dangerous if not handled correctly. That would include, by the way, your car or a hammer. But she also said, we know all the old tricks and tropes designed to distract us from what really matters. We are beyond ridiculous tweets and lies and foolery. These are complicated times, people. They require adult conversation. And I welcome those because civilized debate is vital to democracy. It is best, the best of America. And that I agree with everything along that sense. We need to have adult conversations. The problem is those on the left cannot have a conversation. They have to be yelling at you and calling you names and denying everything. They were fact checking a joke J.D. Vance made about Minnesota Governor Walz. He said, well, you know, they probably picked Chicago because Walz had made a remark that he had been in a combat zone. So they thought, well, we'll put it in Chicago so then he can say, I've been in a combat zone. A CNN reporter did a fact check on that. saying, no, they decided the convention long before he was chosen. It was a joke. It's a joke. I think J.D. Vance tweeted out, LMAO. I'm sure many of you know that means laughing my arse off. And numerous others came out and said, we're going to now fact check jokes? If we're looking at some additional remarks from Winfrey, and this is not a joke, when Trump originally ran for office in 2000, which would have been at that time going against Hillary, Winfrey suggested he would be a good president. He sent her a thank you note, and she replied in response, too bad we're not running for office. What a team. She doesn't deny that she had said that. Wonder how that goes over with Hillary, that Oprah was doing that. And in a 2023 interview, she said, I might have thought it back then. I might have thought it 23 years ago. We all change and evolve. You might think someone's a really trustworthy and a viable and valuable person to you. But over time, you realize they're not who you thought they were. So I can accept that. But most of what she was doing is looking for a way to bash Donald Trump and all of his followers. Talking about they want to consider books are dangerous for children. Certain books should not be in the hands of certain age children. We're talking about appropriateness. Do you want Hustler magazine in the elementary school? Really? And why I've yet to hear a single answer that comes anywhere near satisfying this question. Why do any adults want pornographic material shown and exposed to 4- and 5-year-olds, unless they're grooming them for sex? Well, tonight is VP Harris, her time on the stage. The keynote address, accepting her party's historic presidential nomination in a way that's never been done before. But Politico points out, this will be the first major speech she's given in her life. Let me read some of what they wrote about it. From Politico, which is left-leaning. Most presidential nominees in the modern era created star-making turns at national conventions that filled out their profiles and laid the foundation for their acceptance speeches years later. Until recently, while Kamala Harris has sporadically captured the nation's attention, she's never detailed her origin story or established herself on a large stage in ways that Barack Obama did in Boston 2004, when the young Illinois senator first captured Democrats' imagination, or as Ronald Reagan did in Kansas City in 1976, when the former California governor and conservative darling overshadowed the GOP nominee by asking whether future generations would credit them for saving the world from nuclear destruction. It continues, for Harris, whose vice presidential nomination speech came during a convention in 2020 disrupted by the COVID pandemic, Thursday night will be a first. It underscores a hairpin turn Democrats took from President Joe Biden to the vice president over the last month, and illustrates just how few details about her personal story have penetrated the minds of the electorate, even longtime allies. The other thing it points out, what her plan is at the convention, she's going to outline an address, in which she will connect her own personal story, a middle-class daughter of immigrants whose mother purchased their first home when her daughters were nearly in their teens, the American Dream. Well, that's a powerful story, and I'm happy for them. I am. I'm happy for anybody that gets ahead in life. But what she's going to do is try to take that and say, that's why we want to give young people $25,000 to get their home. Not realizing that by doing that and forgiving student loans and putting in price controls to keep, quote, from price, as she said, gauging, when she meant gouging, it's all going to be a disaster. High prices are still a top concern for many Americans. And voters continue to give President Biden poor marks for handling it. And Harris is anchored to Joe Biden. She cannot escape that. She's been right there with them. And if she's going to say, from day one, I will do this, why didn't you do it during the Joe Biden days? You could have encouraged him, stepped up, but no, you supported everything he put in motion, and you continue to do it. But she tonight will be the first black woman, first Asian American, to lead the ticket of a major political party. Politico also, or the CNN actually, put out a list of promises she's made so far in her campaign. This would be interesting. Let's take a quick look. Promises she's made. I'm looking at policy proposals, promises, contrast her vision with America, economy, obviously a top concern. She's proposing using tax credits to provide relief, but at the same time wants 50% of taxes that you have not sold anything on yet. Healthcare platform, building off the Biden administration. It's on and on. It's repetitious from the progressive platform, period. Not a single new idea. Just a new person mouthing them. One of the speakers at last night's DNC, certainly familiar, and many deeply love him, and they know his story, even his history with women. And while the Dems will criticize Donald Trump for references to women and chastise him, they're more than willing to look over what Bill Clinton did inside the Oval Office. But let's not go down that rabbit hole. Let's go down another one.
I do want to say one word about President Biden. Remember, he had an improbable turn that made him president. And we were in the middle of a pandemic and an economic crash. He healed our sick and put the rest of us back to work. And he strengthened our alliances for peace and security. He stood up for Ukraine. He's trying desperately to get a ceasefire in the Middle East. And then he did something that's really hard for a politician to do. He voluntarily gave up political power.
Oh, once again, I was almost there. Almost, he almost had me in his clutches. I didn't buy the Ukraine. I certainly didn't buy the Middle East. But he was curing us. I mean, he was curing blindness, deafness, everything else. And, oh, yeah, on the COVID thing, which was built off of drugs that Trump pushed forward. And a lot of people didn't want them and didn't need them. And turned out to be more harmful than good for many. All of that aside, but then when he said, but he did something a politician finds extremely hard to do. He unselfishly decided to get out of the way of someone else. Joe Biden did not make that decision. He was told what the decision would be. One of the Biden insiders has said it was very clear that Barack Obama and Pelosi were pushing him and pushing him and pushing him. The only two that were standing up for him at that time, Jill Biden, did not want to lose her rides on Air Force One, and Hunter Biden. Now, there is something else that's still in play, with charges that Hunter Biden is facing, and he's also a convicted felon. Don't forget that. Just as is Trump, sentencing due the 18th of next month. Not likely to go to jail, prison, but they might make a big grandstand out of it. But the bottom line is, Hunter will be getting a pardon before Daddy officially steps out. Or if not from Daddy, probably will be anyway, but not, but from Harris. Therein brings us back again. I know for some of you it's getting old, but I just want you to remember it. That October surprise, let's just move Joe out now and let Kamala step in and be president and running as President Harris. And God help us if we don't encounter some disaster or a world event that means she's got to be tested right before people go to the polls, because she will fail. And yet Gordon Chang has told us repeatedly, an expert on China, China will be looking to test her from the beginning, as will Russia, as will Iran, as will every terrorist nation, as will every enemy, and even some of our allies. And then you have this other issue that with the Democrat National Convention, they've been so careful to avoid conflict. They have not really, other than Walz last night, expressing, we are going to get abortion across the land again. They try to step around it a little bit, except for having the Planned Parenthood truck available for immediate abortions or vasectomies. And they also have not had one, not one Palestinian on the stage. And even AOC said, you're treating them as inhuman by not letting them speak. They're in the streets, those supporting Palestine, mainly Hamas, are in the streets protesting, fighting Chicago police every night, but not one of them on the stage. And Dana Bash took note that between having Tim Walz and then Doug Emhoff, Harris's spouse last night, it looks like they were trying to get rid of testosterone-laden men that really have emasculated men, or maybe no men at all. Hey, reminding you, my guest for tomorrow, John LeBoutier and Jamie Allman. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.